good morning, and welcome to the Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports on this second Wednesday in February. Hey, got a lot of things to kind of shout out. A historic Super Bowl for our community, women making impact as coaches and officials doing the Super Bowl weekend, and the winning team, their leadership, had a significant number of women coaches and men of color in leadership. So I'm going to be watching pretty closely to see if those men get opportunities as head coaches. So hopefully we've been moving the needle, and hey, that wasn't the team I was rooting for, but that learning that after the fact made me feel a bit better about that. Hey, shout out to HSRN, where we are rebroadcasted on Fridays at noon and Sundays at 8 p.m. So I am very pleased that they find value in what we do here in the Chat in the Garden and want to share it to their audiences. And so thank you so much. Last week, I hope you were able to catch Dr. Kiki Baker-Barnes, Ava Amaker, and myself, and Reese Lovelace served as our MC. We spoke about elevating women of color in athletic administrative roles and coaching at the Equity Summit. And so, honestly, I was so very honored to serve on the panel with these two ladies. They are phenomenal. They both have programs that try to do grassroots of trying to spark that interest of the different roles in sport. Ava made a real good observation with talking about grounds and cutting grass and facilities. You know, we rarely talk about those type of positions. And she says, you know, but she's got a good point. There's almost nothing that doesn't touch sports in some type of way. So we just got to open our eyes out and try to just inspire the next generation so that we can increase the pipeline. And so I was really excited about being on the platform. It was very large. It was a three-day conference. And so for them to pinpoint us to address that need was phenomenal, not necessarily because they chose us, but because of the subject line that they can respect the fact that there's a need for us in there. So that was great. And also that these two ladies are actually my clients. They are a member of the Speakers Bureau. And so if you would like to learn more about how to become a member of the Speakers Bureau, just inbox me at MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. So I have been on the podcast circuit for a minute here as a guest. And so that's been quite new. And I think a couple of weeks ago, I think I posted in the group and the link didn't work. So I got to make sure that I post. It worked, but then they updated the podcast. And it was actually a video. And so the link didn't work. But I was on Afros and Audio talking about the creativeness of podcasting and how long we've been able to last for 7 years. And that was the first question. And my answer was, it's not for me. There are many, many women that need to be highlighted. And so it's been a joy, honestly, this month to post other interviews on other platforms of other women being highlighted. And so I think it's just take a stroll down the feed inside the Chat in the Garden Facebook group, private Facebook group, And read, oh my goodness, the one of the ones that I really enjoy, and I said so, because I do try to listen to what I post or read before I post. So this particular podcast, this person just joined the group, and I was just about to announce her new position. I fell upon an interview that I thought was just so interesting. So I'm really going to invite you to go listen to that. Mainly because it's a millennial. It's a young person. And just like last week, we had a young person who was able to obtain their position during COVID. And I think that's inspiring. And we need to, honestly, there's no lie. You can be inspired and led by young people, your mentee. That young lady is Brianna Wise. She was on the Force podcast. It's called Off the Pitch with Brianna Wise. And just interesting how she pivoted I think she started out in football, and now she's with soccer. And then for those that are already in the role on college campuses of trying to figure out how to engage your fans, you can listen to some of the things that they've been doing, which I thought was very interesting. We all can learn from each other. I mean, that is so important, so important. That's what we do in the garden. You feed off each other. So, that was really great. And so the latest podcast that that just went live, I think it went live on Monday or Friday or something like that, and it was called The Church and Sports. And I had just, I think it was last month, Dr. Spears, I think it's Joseph Spears out of Bowie State, had invited me to like a focus group talk about the pandemic, church and student athlete activism, and my eyes were open. I mean, it really was like, okay. So I was invited from an entrepreneurial group of black women podcasters, and I said, yeah, I kind of know a little bit about it. I mean, when he called upon me, something came to my remembrance to be able to join the conversation. So I just somewhat elaborated on how the church and sports are connected. And so kind of piggyback what I was saying about fan engagement, that we can learn from each other. And it was just interesting how I think it was on the podcast we were talking, and we talked about when with no sports, people were somewhat grieving, and because their identity was changed. And they, you know, and you, most of the time you don't even know you're grieving. You just feel irritating. You don't know what it is. And, you know, to some people think that's real trivial, like, okay, you really having withdrawal symptoms because you don't have sports. But that's really a thing. That's for real. And so because people connected things that are higher and bigger than they. They want to be connected to something. And then when they don't have it to be connected, they're like, who am I? So I just thought it was very interesting that the church couldn't meet in person. Some of them are now, but quite spaced out. And some people are having church outside. And people are faring that because they want a connection. They want to connect with other believers. And the same thing, people want to connect with other fans. Did you feel connected? And so I would just say go check that out. It's The Church and Sports. It's on Sherry Jones' podcast. And just very glad to be able to, again, that the entrepreneurial world or the equity world, now the church world, recognizes that sports does intertwine. And how can we explore that, expand that, and connect for a better journey, if you will, during this lifetime. So, again, we're getting our respect, and I really would invite many of you all to hit the podcast circuit. I mean, I know you want to be here, and that's great. That's another thing. I only could do it really once a week. And so if you can get on some others and then you want to send the link to me, I'll be really glad to post it. Absolutely. And so we're coming down on the home stretch. I know you keep hearing me say this, but the magazine Significance in Athletics and Sports is being formatted on Amazon. I am waiting any day now for the congratulations letter from Amazon to let me know that we are live. We are live. And so to celebrate that, all of my contributors, which there are 16 contributors, we are meeting inside Facebook, Chatner Garden Facebook Live on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., but last night I couldn't make the 8 p.m., so we did the 9 p.m., and last night, oh, we had a great time, Dr. Jasmine Highsmith. I mean, that was really fantastic because I learned a lot that she has expanded her mindset to expand her mindset. She has jumped over her fears, all right, her barriers, and she is actually doing what she's been her heart, which is they say your message, well, her little barrier was she didn't understand what to do after she was no longer an athlete, so she took it to be her message. And she created Black Female Athletes Rock because she wanted them to be able to see that you're more than just an athlete. What were the other dimensions that you have? And so even as she's has her PhD, she works in human resources, and so she wants to take that to a college campus as an administrative role. And that's interesting because that's what we talked about in the very beginning when we met. And then I said, well, put your passion about your nonprofit inside the magazine. And then I went on to talk to her about how to create the atmosphere for you to land where you want to land. And so you actually learned the same time I learned about I think it's Houston Baptist that she is taking her talents as a volunteer. But I'm here to tell you, I've had many, many clients come to me, and we talked about the volunteering, and they're doing quite well because they've been elevated into full-time positionship at athletic departments. So if you have that stumbling block, if you feel like you're trying to get into that seat and you don't know how, hey, I'm here to talk to you. Again, it's Monique A.J. Smith at seasonofempowerment.info. Check out Dr. Jasmine Highsmith on the Facebook Live that took place last night. She has another platform where she is trying to two things. She's highlighting former athletes on her platform, and I think she does like a Facebook Live too within her group. And secondly, which I really think would be really great, is this new role, this volunteer role that she's creating, doing life skills, athlete development for this college, Division I college in Houston. And she's looking for speakers. And so if you would like to serve her and her student-athletes, reach out to her. First, just go to the latest Facebook Live, and her information is in the chat. Again, I am here to serve you all, and I have been seeing some things on my feed about Bitcoins and how well they're doing. If that doesn't resonate with you, or you have no idea what I'm talking about, you need to reach out to Jolene Robinson, Stepping to Win. She is a winning women's basketball coach who's taken her talents to teach women the financial investor game. And I'm excited that, again, she finds value in the group for her to want to advertise with the Chatner Garden podcast. But also that, I mean, come on now. You all know that sometimes when you find your very best thing, you don't want to share. Well, she wants to share that this is another income stream. She's now an athletic administrator, so this becomes an added income stream that she doesn't necessarily have to watch. So if you don't know what Bitcoins are, if you are looking for an additional income stream, something that you don't have to put your brain to on a 24/7, contact Jolie Robinson at 980-298-2231. Again, 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. She'd be really glad to let you know the next informational webinar that they have. My other resource I have for you is Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoiding the curse by Tawana Smith. Tawana Smith is a longtime media partner of a Chat in the Garden, and her book is a great resource, especially for you if you have student-athletes who are always in your office and always ask advice and may have the potential to go professional. And we're not just talking about football or basketball. You can go professional in track and field, soccer, what's the other one I was thinking about? Oh, in tennis. And so there are things you need to be aware of. And I'll be honest with you, one of my interns just asked me a question last night, matter of fact, should she file her taxes? And I was a little concerned because I'm like, okay, but you work other places. You never file taxes? She says, no, I'm a dependent. So that stumped me right there because I don't know. I thought you still had to file your taxes even though you're dependent. But I didn't want to give her any kind of advice at all. So to me, I'm going like, oops, let me go ask that question to somebody so I can give her intelligent information because I don't want to give her something that's going to mess her money up. That's one thing. You can give advice about career, but you don't want to give people advice about money if you're not really sure. So, you know, there's some family members who don't want to look bad in front of their athletes that are family members, so they're just telling what they have done. We don't want to do that because that can be real detrimental. So you need to have financial people who have an understanding of what these professional athletes are about to embark on. That's why this book is great. Now, I'm going to go back and look on that about tax preparing and whatnot. And it's important. So, again, don't take my word for it because the NFL purchased the book for all of the Celebration Bowl 2 years ago. So if the NFL thought it was a great resource, you should too. So you can go purchase it on Amazon. It's in three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. So it's a great resource. Tawana Smith is she's joining our side and going to get her PhD because, again, she knows that she's got a message that she wants to give out and she wants to put it in a format and research to try to kind of help what we're talking about, you know, whether it is being more financial literacy on college campuses, requirement, grassroots is the way to go. Start them early. So, again, support a sister who is trying to grow herself personally and trying to grow you. So go to Amazon.com, type in Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse. And I just saw on Instagram, and this lady is not a member of the Garden, but she is called a sports counselor, and she did a piece on I love using this in my class. The All-American, because I guess the latest episode, he seeks out a sports psychologist. And so she kind of breaks it down. And I thought that was great because, you know, when we start seeing things in the general media, it becomes the norm. And we want that to be the norm. We want to take the stigma out of the mental health piece. The mental health and, again, health and sickness are different. You know, all of us, especially in the pandemic, have to check our mental health. It doesn't mean you have a mental illness. It just means that you might be blue and we need to turn that blue back into a sunny day. But you don't even know that's what's going on. And I think that All-American writers, their seasons have always been great. And they're always addressing social issues. So I would suggest you go on Instagram. Again, she is not invested as a partner. Again, I just want to be able to share some information that I think would be really helpful. Because, again, when you share it with your student athletes, and I don't think you can really kind of figure out how to share from Instagram, really. But to have a talking piece, can you relate to this? I think that's important. And so me saying that, I believe that administrators also have some blockages that they don't really recognize that they have. And I cover it in my chapter called Public Figure Mask. And I take the mask off and share some of my triumphs and some of my pitfalls. And it was early in my career. Now, here's the blessed part. After I started going to counseling, my career soared, okay? So this is not like telling you all of the things that happened, and then in my retirement I decided to go and bear my soul. No, in the midst of my first year of being a social commissioner for the CIAA, I hit a wall. Literally and figuratively. And from that, I was really able to bloom. And I was ready to grow from that and to grow others from that and really found my mission and passion behind it. And so if you're really interested in hearing about that, go to publicfiguremask.com and I will send you a book. And so, as I say, that's my Johnny Carson monologue for today. And I'm really excited about bringing on today's guest because I believe this is an area that we need to look in. And I work part-time for the city of Hampton in some recreation area. And when I saw this lady's on Instagram, I was like, ooh. I need to have her in a garden to try to bring some light to this part of careers. And I do have a couple of clients who work in parts of recs. And again, I just want to be able to show the different careers that can take place. And most importantly, how to partner with our campus's athletic administrators, how you can build collaborations, and I mean, especially if you are have some internship responsibilities, having a Parks and Rec person on your, I want to say your Rolodex, but on your contact list, and say, you know, I have a student looking for an internship. That's the way to go because they need bodies, and your students need grades. All right. So I'm excited about bringing to the garden Dr. Sonia Shaw. She's currently an adjunct professor at North Carolina Central University. Welcome to the garden, Dr. Shaw. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Monique. Good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are
you? Good. I'm wonderful, wonderful. All is well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. You got some good information, and I'm ready to share with the group. And, yeah, so excited to have you in the garden. And so we're not going to delay. We're going to go ahead and start with share your career path from college to your current position.
Sure, absolutely. So I actually started this journey in Parks and Rec at UNC Chapel Hill. I actually went to Carolina as a pharmacy major, believe it or not. But I ended up, exactly, so I ended up taking a Parks and Recreation introductory course one summer, and I found out that I could do sports and recreation for a career. So you can imagine the conversation I had with my mom and my dad when I went back home and said, I think I'm going to skip out on the pharmacy thing. I'm going to Parks and Recreation. And at that point, they were like, what is Parks and Recreation, and can you get a job when you graduate? And I said, absolutely, I can. So from that point on, I transitioned to become a Parks and Recreation major, ended up graduating there with my BA degree in leisure. At that point, it was called Leisure Studies and Recreation Administration for the program. That was at UNC. Met a gentleman that summer who was actually working in the Parks and Recreation Department in Chapel Hill. He was the superintendent of recreation, Leon Cotton. Little did I know that he would take me under his wing, teach me Parks and Recreation, and give me an opportunity to grow there. I actually did my internship locally with Chapel Hill Parks and Rec after graduation. I started working there in athletics, no surprise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Growing up a Parks and Recreation kid, playing basketball, softball in high school, from a family who loved sports, you know, and basically being a tomboy on the block, you know, who was the only girl playing in the backyard with the guys running up and down. Mm-hmm. What was then what? The dirt basketball courts, because that's all we had back then.
Mm-hmm.
So always had a love for Parks and Rec. So, as I said, went to Carolina, ended up working there in Parks and Recreation, stayed in the department for what I thought would be about 5 years, ended up loving the field profession, got an opportunity to work not only in athletics but in community-based programming,
mm-hmm.
also worked in aquatics, had an opportunity to do some outdoor nature programming, senior programming, arts, pottery, you name it.
Mm.
So in essence, this was my resume builder job, but just something that I grew to love and wanted to stay in. So 5 years, Monique, turned into 15 years in Chapel Hill, believe it or not.
Mm.
So, you know, you go to school there, you're in the Triangle, you're close to Durham, great location, so it's like, I want to leave. But something was calling me at that point to move into a leadership position, because during those 15 years I had gone from being like an athletic specialist to a supervisor over marketing and special events and new program development. So really had a opportunity to learn the profession as a whole for Parks and Rec. So I said, okay, it's been 15 years, it's time for you to go ahead and get your own department to run.
Mm.
So there were a couple of opportunities that had popped up in the area and started applying for director positions, and the second one I applied for was in Goldsboro, North Carolina. So Goldsboro was only, you know, what, an hour, 45 minutes, an hour from Chapel Hill area. So I was like, that's not too far. I think we can, you know, make that transition happen. So ended up getting the position there and loved being in a leadership role at that point. Had a very, very supportive community, very supportive manager, city council, and the community embraced me. And I said, this is what it's about right here. This is
mm-hmm.
what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed in Goldsboro probably for about another 2.5 years and then kind of missed the Triangle. You know, I love my Eagle football, basketball. We were away because we had moved to the Goldsboro area, and I was like, I'm missing being back in the Triangle because I did my graduate work at North Carolina Central.
Okay.
So during that time while I was at Carolina, I'd gone back and pursued my Master's of Public Administration from North Carolina Central, which kind of started me on my pathway to really being a supporter of what was happening on campus with Central as well. So not only did I do my master's there in public administration, I was also coaching alongside Jolie Robinson.
Yes.
So Jolie gave me an opportunity to join the coaching staff there. So I did that alongside her. And at that time, Barbara Smith, and there were a couple other assistants that were there with her. So had an opportunity to experience coaching at the collegiate level. Because while in Chapel Hill, I had also coached basketball from middle school to high school. So Chapel Hill was a time that I got to do pretty much anything and everything I wanted to do around sports and recreation. So after coaching with Jolie, I finished up my master's degree, and I got to a point in the crossroads where I was like, am I going to stay in Parks and Rec? Am I going to go in coaching? You know, what am I going to do at this point? Mm-hmm. Because at that time, you know, women of color were doing their thing in coaches. I think back then, Jolie was at Central, and I want to say, and you probably remember Beverly Downing. I think she was at St. Aug about that time.
Yes, exactly. I've been in this game for 30 years.
So, you know, these women were doing the thing back in the day, and I got to a point where I was like, am I going to stay in Parks and Rec? Am I going to go in coaching? What is it that I'm going to do? So I ended up staying in the field. So fast forward it, while I was in Chapel Hill, I decided my next step would be moving into the leadership role in Goldsboro. And as I said, really enjoyed my time there, decided to come back to the Triangle area where I served as director of Parks and Rec in Garner for about 12 years. And during this time, yeah, I'd been there 12 years. But during that time, I also went back to pursue my PhD in Parks, Recreation, Tourism Management because I've always had a love of teaching and always loved working with students. And you previously mentioned about the connection with the internships and being able to place students in positions where internships where they really will have good experiences that will prepare them for the field. And I think that's very important and key for our students to do well once they transition out of undergrad or grad and get that internship that will shape their experiences in parks and recreation. So I recently transitioned on the teaching side, being an adjunct at North Carolina Central University, feeling right at home again, you know, right in the Walker Complex, look right outside of the stadium. So, you know, going to class, before the pandemic, walking to class on campus, it was just really good being back in the atmosphere on campus with our students. And then, you know, I teach in the spring, so during the spring semester, you know, football, and when I'm teaching in the fall and the spring, football's out, they're practicing, you know, the stadium is halfway rocking, busyness of campus is going on, so just love the atmosphere for sure. So that's where I'm at today, adjunct professor, helping shape the lives of our next generation of leaders, and have really enjoyed the journey thus far.
Okay. Well, I'm going to dive deep a little bit more into your leadership roles. I see that you are serving as past president of the National Recreation Park. I don't know what the rest of it stands for.
North Carolina, past president for North Carolina Recreation and Park Association, and then probably president-elect for the National Recreation and Park Ethnic Minority Society.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about your president-elect.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's talk about that.
All right. So with our Ethnic Minority Society, Ethnic Minority Society Group, this is an affiliate of our national Recreation and Park Association, and it's comprised of black and brown people across the U.S. who are in position, who are working in parks and recreation, either on the academic or practitioner side. And we come together as a group to really focus on the needs of underrepresented populations in parks and recreation. So we've got a group of right now maybe about 200 or so professionals across the country, which is a great networking opportunity. I always share with our students as you're transitioning into positions in Parks and Rec, it's good to have that network in place. So this organization provides the network for our students. And my role, of course, as president-elect is shaping the programs that are coming through the organization. So one that we had recently over the past couple of months really talked about how do we focus our or reshape or rethink about how and what equity looks like in parks and recreation organizations from a staffing perspective, from a service delivery perspective, particularly around COVID, because communities, of course, have, of color have been impacted much more than those without. And what we're finding is that parks and recreation and the delivery of services during this time have been very essential. When the gymnasiums closed with the pandemic, you had your fitness centers closing, your gymnasiums and other workout facilities closing for the general public, people flooded to parks and recreation departments. So that, of course, increased our visibility in communities. It had a impact of increasing a lot of traffic now that people were seeking out parks for mental health and well-being and just getting out of the house or at least trying to establish some routine during the pandemic. But we also realized that communities of color were being impacted more, particularly when it comes to frontline workers having to be at work while students are home with virtual learning. So Parks and Recreation played an integral role in that. The facilities and centers now became homes for youth and teens that were used to being in school but were now at home. And parents had to make the decision to find somewhere for their children to be during the day. So Parks and Rec filled that void and opening facilities up, providing what we typically would call track-out camps. But these became more hands-on camps because now you have Parks and Rec providers who were assisting and filling the gap where teachers were doing, you know, of course, when the students were in school. So now you've got your students in facilities that are now having to, you know, look at and help students with assignments, making sure they are online and doing what they need to do during class periods, but also giving them an opportunity to, you know, let their hair down, play, get all this extra energy out after they finish their virtual classes. So, yes, Parks and Rec was an integral, played an integral role in that, and one of the sessions that we did really focused on what has that impact been? How is it that communities were having to address these challenges that were new but had a major impact on black and brown communities? So that being in that position, being in that role, allowed us to shape a lot of the information sessions and seminars that we could share now that since everything's virtual over Zoom. We were able to have a broader conversation about what was happening across the country with members of the organization, the in our EMS, NRP EMS, which is our Ethnic Minority Society group, and be able to expand that conversation and see what's happening in Mississippi versus North Carolina versus Seattle. So it was, I mean, it was a great time that we had. So being in that leadership role, able to shape a lot of what happens in our organization and what information that we push out and being a resource for our practitioners across the country.
That's some good information because I want to shout out one of our members of Chatham Garden who is also a client. She works in Richmond Parks and Rec, and I have been helping her with not the actual project itself, but the confidence part, her little go and do it. She created an e-sports. She brought it there, and I think this month they launched it. And
wonderful.
So really, her name is Sherry Lewis. out of Richmond, Virginia. Yeah, just so proud of her. Because one of the things that we, and she's in the magazine is coming out next month called Significance. And what we initially were talking about, she it plays tackle football. And she was bringing that because, you know, the NAIA is giving out scholarships for flag football for girls. And, for women because on the college side. And so she was, you know, bringing that to the forefront. And then she did the research about esports and whatnot. And so I'm going like, girl, you got you got something else. You got to put it out there for your specialized knowledge, because if you created it for them, you can do a template for everybody else to follow.
Absolutely, and esports are taking off, and they are the new thing. So yes, she definitely has a gem there if she's created that in house herself.
She did. I actually watched it.
That's wonderful.
Like, I can't help you with the details, but yeah, keep going, keep going.
Well, I hope I get to meet her at maybe one of our upcoming conferences.
Okay. I definitely will connect you all virtually, make that happen. And, yeah, that's what I love to do. I love to connect minds and vines so that we can all grow together.
Well, absolutely.
We're going to take a short break here in the chat in the garden. And when we return, we continue talking to Dr. Shaw.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here on the Chat and Garden with Snoopy's Blooms in Athletics and Sports. Well, Dr. Shaw, I do have a question from Dr. Jasmine Highsmith. She would like to know, who inspired you to work in sports?
Okay, so gosh, that's probably a long list of women, strong women, you know, that were on the coaching side of athletics and those who were on the academic side in terms of parks and recreation. So during my early years at UNC, I had no idea that we had some of the lead women at that time in parks and recreation who were leading in research, and they were leading in spreading the word about what Parks and Recreation meant and its relevance in the community. So at that time, there was a lady by the name of Deb Bolesky and another one by the name of Leandra Bedini, who were leading on the Parks and Recreation research side and just doing an awesome job helping us understand the profession in the classroom. Now, on
the
coaching
side. Can
you
pause for a second? Tell me the person named Deb again.
Deb Bolesky.
And she was your teacher?
Yes, she was a professor. Uh-huh.
I think she was mine, too. That's why I was like, that name.
B-I-A-L-E-S-K-I, maybe?
Yeah.
Deb Bolesky.
I think, was she young?
Then, uh-huh.
Yes. I think she taught me at ODU in 93.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because you know, that name is not a common name, you know. And I remember the dad part. It was like,
yeah,
I think I said Dubolesky, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily sound like I was saying it correctly, but.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know her background, so that's the whole point. And I don't know her background, but that's, if she was teaching, I'm sure she taught there too. Wow.
Yeah. So Deb Bolesky, and then another was Leandra Bedini. And she's actually still teaching. Deb is now working with the, I want to say the Camping Association, the National Camping Association group. So she's still working with the group. And then Leandra Bedini, I believe, is still teaching. She transitioned from Carolina and went to UNCG, and she's teaching in their Parks and Recreation program. So they were very instrumental while I was at UNC in terms of shaping, you know, my interest in working in sports. And Deb was the one I actually took the intro course from. So I guess it's her fault that I'm actually in Parks and Rec.
Right. She taught me administration, so that's what got me the bug as well.
Yes. And then at Central during that time, like I shared with you, Jolie was there coaching, Barbara Smith, and Dr. Downing and I are actually from the same hometown. We're from Little Washington, North Carolina. So her mom used to lead all of our youth choir church groups way back when. Yes, Ethel Bryant, yes. That's how I knew all of, you know, Beverly and her siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, but also during that time, we had, like, the big coaches, the best coaches at KU and NC State, and, you know, Sylvia Hatchell was at UNC. So, I mean, and Dr. McCree was also at Central then, but she was coaching volleyball.
That's right.
Yeah, so she was doing her thing with volleyball then, with that winning program, and, of course, you know, now serving as AD. So I had all these women that I was close to, be it through Parks and Rec or through coaching, that I loved to see them work. I used to love seeing them on the sidelines at CIAA, love seeing the women administrators during CIAA conferences, and one of my coworker always jokes me, and he says, you know, you went to Carolina, but if I didn't know any better, I would have figured you went to Central undergrad, because, you know, back then we used to always go to the CIAA tournaments, and I think I was still in school then, Monique. So I've always been on the Eagle side of things.
On behalf of Ingrid, we thank you. I got a Central Letterman jacket right now in my closet. I got a Coach Mac shirt and everything. Because Ingrid's my mentee. So
Yes.
And Ingrid actually is, I think, where you got your master's from, the PhD.
PhD,
I think Ingrid is in the Hall of Fame or something.
Yes,
that
she
has.
Is. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She did her PhD there, and I think she was inducted to NC State's Parks, Recreation, Tourism Management Hall of Fame. It's probably I think I was in the program then, so maybe 7 or so years ago. But, yeah, I was there when she got inducted. I was there, so that was a joy. That was a joy because we don't get a lot of African-American women in that space, so we were all excited when she received that honor.
Well, I feel like I'm a part of it. I'm in her dissertation, so I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
Well,
oh, let me tell you, that dissertation was the saving grace for me when I was writing mine.
Okay.
And Ingrid has no idea how much I looked at her dissertation. I probably know that dissertation better than she does. Because that's how
funny.
Much I was on that research that she was on. Because it was only one of a few studies
mm-hmm.
on women of color in athletic administration. Hers was probably one of the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are not a lot out there, which is very similar to mine. My study was the first one on African-American women leaders in parks and recreation.
Wow.
Yes, and that was 2017. So it's not like we've not been in that space, but we hadn't transcended to the PhD programs in order to conduct that research. But,
well,
of course,
know.
There are others that are following now. But, yes, Ingrid's was key, crucial
mm-hmm.
to me completing my dissertation. Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to invite you to consider to contribute to the next magazine on that subject.
I would be glad to. Let's talk about that. I'd be glad to contribute to that.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. I'm all about expanding the mind of all the opportunities because, you know, the world is competitive. So
mm-hmm.
therefore you have to look at all your options in the same
mm-hmm.
area of your interest. And
mm-hmm.
I just fell upon this Parks and Rec position that I have. Boo Williams facilities here in Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a volleyball game, and he was like, what you doing? I'm like, well, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I'm teaching in Hampton. Hey, I might need your help. And so
mm-hmm.
they have a gigantic Nike tournament, and I used to rent the facility for my volleyball championships and my
mm-hmm.
indoor. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had worked together before, and he was like, I may need your help. I said, well, look, I got only a short window to do something extra. And he was like, oh, no, we going to work together. You know that wasn't true.
No.
Girl, he had me do the basketball camp.
Yeah.
Christmas tournament. Now I'm doing the waivers. I created the electronic waivers for all the activities. I did train somebody else to do it, but it's like, okay. But you know the part I love the most?
Mm-hmm.
We had a track meet last Saturday. They called me on a Friday and said they need five guys.
Mm-hmm.
Girl,
mm-hmm.
I got five guys, and they were there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. I was like, that. So that's what gives me joy, being able to take
yes.
my position and enlighten the next generation. That's what makes me happy.
Yes, absolutely. And they are so excited about moving into the profession. And they are so creative. I just find
yeah.
our next generation is so much more creative than we are. And when they integrate technology with what they're doing, like you
mm-hmm.
mentioned with Sherry and that esports,
mm-hmm.
oh, my goodness, Parks and Rec is just going to change. The front of
yes.
Parks and Rec will literally change when our next generation transitions in the workplace.
We talk about their mindset of creativity. That's what
mm-hmm.
I really do. I take a group of students from Hampton, and they're
mm-hmm.
our marketing team. And we've been doing it for the last 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and it has really grown the social media platform of the Boo Williams Summer League and the Boo Williams Sportsplex. I'm looking forward to what else they come up with. And so,
mm-hmm.
again, and they're not paid. It's part of their internships, but they can put it on their LinkedIn page. They made a video about
mm-hmm.
the Sportsplex
wow.
on their phone. Okay.
Oh, yes. Isn't it amazing?
Yes.
Yes, that is so true. They are so creative, yeah. And they maximize the use of cell phones while
mm-hmm.
we do a minimal amount on our cell phones.
So
but
get
yes,
your intern, y'all. Get your intern.
Yes, yes. They are so key to keeping things live and fresh in, regarding programming, too. You know, those innovative ideas are just, they are doing it.
Well, closing out, let people know how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. They can reach me via email. And my email is srshaw1922@gmail.com, srshaw1922@gmail.com. And my email address, if they want to reach me on campus, is Reddick, SREDDIC5@nccu.edu. So that's SREDD5@nccu.edu.
Okay.
SREDDIC5. I left off the last part at nccu.edu. There you go.
All right. And look, I text Ingrid during Super Bowl. I was like, what's the guy's number that's playing that's from Central so I know who to root for?
I know Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
He was what, 20, 21? What was he, 21 maybe?
I don't remember.
23, 26? Mm-hmm. Yes, I know it. That was a good win for him. Not who I was cheering for, but a good win nonetheless.
Exactly. Same thing here. But as you heard on my monologue, you tell me that most of the coaches were minority men. I was like, okay, I can live with it. It's a win-win now. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. And my Shaw side of the family, Tyreek Hill, is a nephew of my husband. Yeah. So, of course, you know, we were cheering for them. We were hoping they were going to pull it through this time. But, hey, I said, Casey, maybe they'll be back next year.
Outstanding. So, again, I want to thank you so much for joining the Garden. And we look forward to partnering on other ventures.
Thank you so much for having me again. And don't hesitate to reach out if you need me. I am here to promote women in sports and recreation.
Outstanding. And as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions, for joining us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.